We should, like, go and, like, hang out with Todd.
Whoa. It's Todd.
Yeah.
Whoa. Todd's even cooler than we thought.
Boys, I'm looking for a fella who goes by the name of Todd.
Oh, yeah. He's cool.
Todd would make, like, a good manager or something.
Todd roll.
Welcome to another episode of the 206 Geek Podcast with your host Todd, the 206 Geek.
Yes, I am your host Todd, the 206 Geek, and this is episode 78. I know I should have posted a couple days ago, but you know, it's been a crazy few weeks, man, and with everything on the internet being focused on what's going on with the coronavirus and what we have to avoid now and what we can and cannot do with, you know, regards to our health and our safety. It's been the same for me as it always has been the last few years. I stay at home. I watch TV, play video games, that. I mean, my daily thing hasn't changed, with the exception that I leave the house even less now than I did before, which wasn't a lot. But everything I see on the internet is more or less about what's going on with this virus and how people are dying and getting sick, or, well, vice versa, getting sick and then dying. It sucks, man. A lot of people out there just don't know how to manage staying home and not going stir crazy. And the best thing I can suggest is find something you enjoy doing by yourself. That's number one. Or at the very least, start utilizing FaceTime and Facebook Messenger with, like, video calls and stuff. That way you can have that face-to-face interaction even though you're not in the same place. Another thing I've noticed, at least for me anyway, because my internet is basically an LTE connection, which is mobile internet, it's been lagging a lot lately, and I think that's because everybody is online now. So, you know, all I can say is this: everybody, I hope you guys are staying safe. Don't leave your house unless you absolutely need to. And if you do leave the house, you know, just be careful, is all. Follow what the CDC tells you to do, you know, listen to them more than anyone else. I don't know about other countries, but I know our country, the man in charge, I don't like talking politics on my podcast because I'm not a political guy, but I'll say this: he annoys me, because he says things and then, like, claims he didn't say things, and I don't know, just, he has given out some massively incorrect information and has gotten people sick and hurt and stuff. And just don't listen. Listen to the doctors. Listen to the central CDC, whatever those initials stand for. I can't recall right now. Center for Disease Control, I think. Listen to those guys more than anyone else. Follow their instructions. Do not. Get this is how you do it kind of thing. Don't get that information from, like, Facebook or YouTube videos or even podcasts. That's why I'm not like giving you things you should or should not do. I say these are, as far as medical things, listen to the CDC. I mean, it's the safest route, honestly. As far as like keeping yourself sane, I can tell you what I've done, and you know, it's, I guess it's working for me. But yeah, I think podcasts right now are probably going to be a lot of people's go-to for entertainment. So I'm going to try to be as entertaining as possible in this. I apologize if this is kind of like the start of a kind of a downer. It will become more entertaining, I promise. at least I'm going to try to anyway. All right, so let me move my laptop a little closer and see here. Yeah, there's a couple. I've posted a few things here in the last few days. Let's see here. First thing I wanted to share with you guys, if you haven't seen or heard this yet, Hasbro has posted on their YouTube channel full episodes of G.I. Joe, Real American Hero. The series from like 1983, I think it was. I remember watching this show when I was a kid. I loved this show. I'm not a huge like wartime. I don't watch movies about war, but I loved G.I. Joe. I don't know why. What is about it that I liked? I think it was probably because the toys were cool. And I think probably when I was a kid, you know, playing war was a favorite amongst my friends. We used to go out and play in the woods and go bang, bang, bang. I got you. No, you didn't. Yes, I did. Kind of thing. Those are well before the days of laser tag and airsoft. Back in those days, it was the only kind of thing like that we had, which I would have never used against other people, were BB guns. And no, that you could hurt somebody with a BB gun. Airsoft will leave a welt, but it won't like get stuck in your skin, far as I know. I could be wrong though, because I've been shot with an airsoft and it hurt like hell, and it left a really nasty bruise. But then again, it was not bare skin, so I would imagine if I got shot in like my bare leg or something, it probably would have stuck. But like I was saying, in those days, we didn't have those things, so we didn't have laser tag. Didn't come out as a toy until like 3 or 4 years later, as far as the playing G.I. Joe. In fact, I remember when laser tag became a popular thing. There was a branded G.I. Joe laser tag system, and it was made by the same people that made the original Starlight laser tag pistols and rifles and stuff. I remember thinking, that's cool. These look like, you know, like G.I. Joe weapons, but they function the same way as the Starlight did. Yeah. But, this is something I've already posted on the Facebook page, and if you want to check it out, just scroll down. I think I posted it yesterday, which is March 29th. So that's cool. Of course, I posted it twice. Actually, I posted the story about it first, and then I posted the link to the direct. Directly to the playlist on the Hasbro's YouTube channel, so you can watch. I don't remember how many episodes were in it. Let me open up real quick. I'll tell you. I'll probably play some. Mute the computer. That way it doesn't automatically start playing. Looks like it's 15 videos on this playlist. And I don't know. Let's go over and take a look at the... Does this allow me to click on the actual profile? Here we go. And... Playlists. Hasbro Studio Shorts is the username on YouTube. And it looks like... Yeah, it's only 15 episodes. I think there's more than that as far as season one goes. I do know that the entire series is available on Tubi. TUBI.com. I think it's Tubi.com or does Tubi TV. Just do a Google search for Tubi TV. TUBI TV. And it's, I think, the mini series for G.I. Joe and the actual cartoon series are both on Tubi, as well as other versions of the G.I. Joe cartoon. And that Tubi also has Transformers as well. Let's see here. Okay, here's something interesting. The CW announces return dates for Flash, Riverdale, and more amid coronavirus pandemic. That's awesome. I'm sure we probably won't see the return of any of these shows until probably late in the year, which will really suck. I mean, normally they would come back in November, right? But we haven't seen the mid-season finale, I don't think. Or wait. I know there's supposed to be new episodes coming out, but I think they're postponed because of all this. This is what it says here on comicbook.com. The COVID-19 pandemic has had a significant impact on the entertainment industry, with countless shows and movies shutting down production due to social distancing guidelines. The CW's state of original programming has particularly been affected by that, with flagship shows like The Flash, Riverdale, and Batwoman delayed new episodes for weeks longer than initially planned. If you've been among the fans who are wondering when new episodes will return, we finally have our answer. On Monday, the network confirmed the return dates for much of the new shows, which will be scattered throughout the month of April. Well, that's good to know. Nancy Drew will return on April 9th at 9 p.m., 8 Central, following a rerun of the third installment of the Crisis on Infinite Earths crossover. Riverdale and its spin-off series, Katie Keene, will return a week later on Wednesday, April 15th, 8, 7 Central, on Thursday, April 16th at 8, 7 Central, respectively. And Thursday, April 16th. Okay. The Flash and Legends of Tomorrow will begin airing new episodes on Tuesday, April 21st, beginning at 8, 7 Central, with Batwoman and Supergirl rounding out the return of the Arrowverse programming beginning Sunday, April 26th. Of course, there are no indication on how many episodes of each of the shows CW shows will be airing once they return, as the shutdown puts a halt on new episodes being filmed. Both the finale season, the final season of Supernatural, and the second season of Legacies are being left out of this update schedule entirely. Oh man, that sucks. As the series creators have confirmed the past week that they are no longer able to finish more episodes during the shutdown. Supernatural's time slot is set to be filled with Whose Line Is It Anyway, while Legacies will be succeeded by the second season of The Dark. Well, I mean, that sucks for people who like those shows, but I like Whose Line, so that's a bonus for me. It's not that I don't like those shows, I just haven't... I should probably go back and start watching Supernatural again. Binge watch the older seasons. Because I watched it from the very beginning, and I think what happened was... I think it was around season 3 is when I stopped watching. And it was because of... between seasons 3 and 4, either... I moved and the DVR wasn't set up to record new episodes beyond that, or it got deleted off the DVR, or maybe that was during the time that my DVR wasn't working and I totally lost track of the show. And then when I remembered I like the show and I want to start watching it, I was like, well, I have a bunch of other shows I'm watching. I don't have time for another show, kind of thing. So... It goes on to saying here that The Flash was also postponed its season 6 ending until later in 2020, as it only has enough episodes to air through Tuesday, March 19th. After that, its time slot will be filled with new episodes of Stargirl, which will air a day after they debut on the DC Universe app. That's cool. So those of you that have the DC Universe will be able to watch it before those of us who don't have it. Lucky. Actually, I'm interested in seeing what the show is about, because the only information I have about Stargirl is that what I've seen on Legends of Tomorrow, because I think she was probably played by a different actress at that point, but... that there's one or two episodes with her on that show. And then, of course, back on Smallville, she also made an appearance there. So this isn't her first time being on TV, but it will be her first time being, like, her own show, which will be cool, you know? Mm-hmm. And then it says here, what do you think of the CW's return schedule for amid the coronavirus? Are you happy that you'll get to see new episodes of your favorite shows? Share your thoughts. Yes, share your thoughts with me. They want people to comment on their posts. But, you know, you let me know what you guys think. Do you watch these shows? Which one's your favorite? Are you sad that we're not going to see any more Supernatural and Legacies? You can let me know what you think about that. Shoot me an email, Todd@206geek.com. Shoot me an email and let me know what you think. Yeah. And then, I need to get back over. I accidentally closed the tab. I didn't mean to do that. No. Yeah. Bad man. All right. I don't know why I decided to channel Cartman there. Let's see. Loading the page as it loads incredibly slow. Alright. Wow, this is slow. This is like dial-up speed. It's a good thing I'm not doing a live stream, because this would be even slower. Holy shit. Earlier today, I posted... Boba Frick actress kept Star Wars crew in stitches on the set of The Rise of Skywalker. If I recall, And I did look up who this actress was, and I think this is the same one, the same actress who played Moaning Myrtle in the Harry Potter movies. Let's see. Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker introduces a slew of new characters to the galaxy far, far away, ranging from armor-clad Zori Bliss to the cruel, elegant General Pride. However, none arguably made a greater impression than the diminutive Babu Frick. Babu Frick. Although the character's presence was limited, his cute rambling quickly grabbed fans' attention. Now, it appears this was also the case on set. Neil Scanlan, who served as the lead effects artist in the Star Wars sequel trilogy, recently spoke with FanSided about his most recent work on The Rise of Skywalker. Of course, talk eventually turned to Babu Frick, and Scanlan revealed that Babu Frick's actress, Shirley Henderson, kept the crew in stitches while working on the set. I think that, you know, I'm going to double check right now because I don't want to say that's who it was, and the woman from Harry Potter, but I'm pretty sure it was. Let me double check, though. Let me look her up right quick. Yes, it is her. Okay, I recognize the face. Moaning Myrtle. All right. It says here, in quotes, "We really enjoyed that shoot very much, and she would make us giggle, and you sort of have to almost tell yourself something. You'd almost sort of have to tell yourself sometimes, hold yourself throughout the shoot. Yeah. Well, especially if she's being funny, I would imagine it was probably similar to, like, people having to work with other comedic geniuses like Jim Carrey or Robin Williams, where in between shooting, people are just, like, losing their shit because it's so funny. And it says here, "For those of you who haven't seen The Rise of Skywalker yet, Babu Frick comes into play when Rey, Finn, Poe, and C-3PO head to the planet Kijimi. It's where Zori Bliss links the group with Frick. And he extracts the Sith text from 3PO's memory banks. He also makes a brief return during the film's final battle." Yeah, I'm really hoping, going forward with Star Wars, we get a new set of movies with these characters we got introduced to in this most recent trilogy. I like them. I want to see more. At the very least, I would like to see them go into animated stuff. They don't have to use the same actors when it comes to animation. It'd be great if they did, but I think I remember hearing that the actor who played Poe Dameron doesn't want to come back to play more. Sounds very much like Harrison Ford back in the day. Harrison Ford was like, you know what, I did those movies, I don't want to do it again. And I think the only reason why he agreed to do the prequels, excuse me, not the prequels, but the newest trilogy. God, I don't know why he even made that. This newest trilogy, as far as I'm concerned, you may have a different feeling about it, but my opinion is that this newest trilogy is better than the prequels. Although in the last movie, we did see some characters from the prequels, I think. Or no, we didn't see them, we heard them. That's a big difference. So, I don't know. I would like to see, like, those characters come to like an animated series, they can probably get some really good voice actors to do like voice matching and stuff. All right. I think there's a little bit more here to this story. I'm not going to read the whole thing. And I have shared this story so you can check it out for yourself. Oh, here's something. I'm looking at my Facebook feed for the podcast page. I started watching the original Star Trek series last night. I hadn't actually watched whole episodes. I just know, like, clips. I've seen clips of the show. My cousins, Marianne and Laura, were huge Star Trek fans. And so was my Aunt Kathleen, for that matter. And they loved Star Trek. And so they would watch it if it was on TV, if it was over at my grandparents or visiting with them. And they'd have it on. I don't remember watching whole episodes. So I started watching it on Netflix last night. And it was... I don't know. It wasn't as bad as I was expecting it to be. And I know what you're thinking. Bad? What do you mean bad? I was like, well, all my recollection was of the dramatic pauses that Shatner did. But Spock. Kind of thing. So my memory of the show was basically all that. You know, that was kind of... Him talking like that through the entire series. But as I was watching it last night, he didn't talk like that in every episode. It was just certain episodes, I think. I did fall asleep watching. It was late, so I didn't binge the whole series in one sitting. I'll probably go back and I think I'll start it, like, I think it was episode 3 by the time I fell asleep. So I need to go back and start watching it again. And kind of reintroduce myself to the original track. Maybe then I will understand people's obsession with not changing the story at all in the newer stuff. People like my old friend Andrew, who absolutely could not stand the J.J. Abrams version of Star Trek. Couldn't stand it. He didn't like it. From what I remembered during one of our heated discussions, he was basically saying he was mad at J.J. Abrams for destroying, I think it was the planet Vulcan in the Prime universe. It's like, well, okay. You do realize you can go back and watch the old stuff again. You don't have to like hold on to like new episodes. This is a property that has been around for, at that point, almost 50 years. I think it's gone past 50 at this point. Actually, I think Star Trek, I think, turned 50 last year, I think, or this year, last year. Either way, it's been around a long time, and there's only like a handful of actors from the original series still around. Most of them have passed away. And as of recently, even William Shatner says he's done doing Star Trek. He's not doing it anymore. So we kind of have to, if we want to see like Kirk and Spock and all those, we're going to have to either accept that Chris Pine is Captain Kirk, or not make any new Star Trek with the original crew. We're going to have to make new stuff with other characters. And you know what? I think that's probably, I don't know. I mean, I haven't talked to Andrew in like 4 years. That friendship at that point was kind of strained. It wasn't as good as it had been. Me and Andrew met each other back in like the 90s, mid to late 90s and became like best friends, and we hung out quite a bit. And then when I moved back to my hometown, we really kind of lost contact. And I think that's when things in our friendship changed. We were friends because we had been friends. But I think between the two of us, we changed. We weren't the same people anymore. You know, I know he changed. Anyway, I mean, at that point, I don't think I changed much. And that was like 2001, 2002, when we kind of lost track of each other and hadn't really stayed in contact other than the occasional phone call or direct message. And about 4 years ago, we reconnected, and is it 4 years ago? Yeah, 4 or 5 years ago, we reconnected. Actually, I think it was even earlier than that. We reconnected back in 2010 when I think it was 2010. Maybe it was 2009. It was 2009, I think. We both started working at the MoPOP in Seattle. Back then it was called the EMP and Sci-Fi Museum. And I think we really lost contact after I stopped working at the museum. After the season was over, you know, along with a bunch of other people, you know, it was a seasonal gig, so we only worked there for 3 months. Andrew stayed on. And you know, he did good there. That's why they kept him on. So I thought I was a good employee. I probably wasn't, though, because they didn't keep me. And I was angry that they didn't keep me. And I think it was because I really liked working there. I really enjoyed working there. I mean, I may have had my moments where I was frustrated or irritated by something, but as a whole, I enjoyed working there. And I think that was the beginning of the end of that friendship, which is fine. I look back on it going, well, we were buddies for a really long time, and I think I burned bridges there. And all right, you know, I think it's now time for a word from our sponsor, so I'll be right back. And we're back. You know, I think I'm going to move on to the next story here. Let's see here. We got... Here's an interesting story. Disney family turns living room into Splash Mountain and other rides. That's brilliant. That's brilliant. It says here, with both Disneyland and Disney World shut down for the foreseeable future, families can't take their usual vacations to the happiest destination on Earth. However, with all the time they've got at home, some parents are getting innovative and bringing the magic of Disney to their living room with the Barron's family. In Farmington, Utah, used some videos of Disney rides online to give their kids a day at the park. That's cool. In a video posted to Reddit, the family's mother, Laura, and the father of the Baron's family puts their 5-year-old son in a box on his lap, right in front of the television playing a point of view ride through of Disney's Splash Mountain. When the ride hits the water at the end, the kid was sprayed with mist from a water bottle. Give him the full experience. Well, here's a video. Of course, it's trying to load. Hold up. Let's see if I can play this. Come on.
What are you going to do for the picture? What are you going to do for the picture?
Buffering, come on.
What are you going to
do? Okay, that's probably funnier to watch than it is to listen to. I apologize for all the yelling on there. Oh my god, it's funny. That's awesome parenting right there. As he's yelling, he's spraying his kid's face with a little spritzer bottle. And then the misting. Oh man, that's funny. It says here, while speaking with Pop Sugar about the videos, Laura said the kids had ridden more than just Splash Mountain during their time stuck at home. The kids have also experienced rides like Space Mountain, Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, and Frozen Ever After. She says, my husband had seen something like this on Reddit and just a regular roller coaster, so I decided to recreate it with Disney rides as a way to cheer up, cheer us all up. She told Pop Sugar, we are huge Disney fans and we're supposed to go to Disneyland at the beginning of the month. Before it all shut down, we decided to cancel because of the way things were headed. This went on for quite some time with several different rides over a couple days. A great way to entertain the kids for a while when there isn't much else to do, although maybe a bit tiring for my husband. Well, yeah, because you can't really see it because you're listening to this podcast, but he's got the kid in like an apple box and he's bouncing it up and down like the kid's on a roller coaster, and he's leaning from left to right and, you know, and forward and back, and yeah. Okay, that's funny. Oh my gosh, that was hilarious. All right. I've been posting quite a bit of memes in the last few days. Oh, here's something interesting. Crisis on Infinite Earths showrunner reveals cut Krypton cameo. Well, I guess there was more, because I do remember they're showing characters from Krypton in the crossover. I guess I'll be able to rewatch it when they play those episodes again.
Barb has been part of this journey with us since the beginning, you know.
Ah, This is why I normally have my computer muted when I'm loading up pages, because sometimes these websites will have a video that automatically loads, and I can't really control that. I wish I could. So I just have to remember to mute my computer. Sorry about that. Let's see here. This is what it says. Crisis on Infinite Earth showrunner just revealed that the crossover had a Krypton cameo that got cut. Mark Guggenheim appeared on the Fake Nerd podcast to talk about a bunch of Arrowverse stuff. It turns out that Cameron Cuffe, I apologize if I'm getting his name wrong, who played Segel, was supposed to pop up. Krypton unfortunately got canceled, which makes the news even bigger bummer for fans of the show. Seeing Superman's grandfather jumping in to deliver a line would have created even more confusion, even more cohesion. Yeah, cohesion, that's what it is. My eyes decided to go blurry for a second there. Sorry. It's not like Crisis shed away. Oh. It's not like Crisis shied away from beginning. What? It's not like Crisis shied away from bringing in almost every DC property it was up for. That was up for it. And this is true. I need to move my computer closer because I'm clearly having issues reading this. Or maybe I should move my microphone closer. There we go. It says here, it's not like Crisis shied away from bringing in almost every DC property that was up for it. We were actually going to have Cameron play a Kryptonian elder, Guggenheim explained, so we could play a little... So we could play a little fast and loose with the continuity if we had to. This is when Alora was basically grabbed by Kal-El and Lois on Argo to take them to the ship. We were going to have this Kryptonian elder, essentially a hologram, with an important information about the destruction of the multiverse. So this stuff is actually written. Nice. Oh, man. Cameron actually commented about the cameo possibility on Twitter. Quote, "A massive congratulations and thank you to Mark Guggenheim and to all who made Crisis on Infinite Earths happen. The work that has gone into these shows for the past 8 years is staggering. Without them forging a path, Krypton would never have come to be. I'm sad I wasn't able to be a part of the S once more and stand alongside some of my heroes. We tried. We wanted to make it happen. But I had already committed to something, and we couldn't make it work. So it happens in this game. You guys know my love for DC Comics is endless. And hopefully our paths will cross again. If nothing else, we elves have hope." That is awesome. I like that. The showrunner also expressed some regret about mentioning a possible Nicolas Cage cameo. That news spread like wildfire, and it feels like fans might have been a bit too eager reaching out to potential cameo targets. Quote, "I know I've talked about Nick Cage, but ever since I did that, I've since felt pretty bad. Guggenheim admitted, because I don't want anyone, like, let's call him Person X. If we want Person X, and Person X said no, I don't want Person X Twitter feed to blowing up with, why don't you play that role? Why didn't you appear in a crisis? Well, that kind of happened with Michael Rosenbaum. I feel bad for Michael, honestly. It would have been cool to see his legs come back, but he wasn't interested in doing it, you know, and it's really up to him, really, more than anything else. That's probably who he's talking about, actually. In fact, I'm pretty sure it was Michael, because Michael actually commented on this, and he was, he, at least the way I read it, he seemed very annoyed. That people were like, why aren't you on this crossover? You should be on this crossover. And he just wasn't interested, you know, and that's fine. He doesn't have to do it if he doesn't want to. Hold on a second. I need to take a drink. My throat. Here we go. All right. Okay, so, and then he goes on to saying, everyone's got their reasons, and for some people, they were legitimately busy, he continued. For other people, they just had no desire. For other people, they wanted more money than we had to spend. There's a whole host of reasons why various cameos didn't come into being. I don't see any good coming from going into specifics for why those various cameos didn't happen. Right. I mean, yeah, we don't. If they were busy, they were busy. If they weren't interested, they weren't interested. And if they wanted more money than a network television show was able to pay them, then yeah, they're not going to be on the show. And I think, you know, not saying that they're being greedy, and I don't think they were. I think they have their fee for appearances and stuff. And I don't think they necessarily need to change that because it would be a popular thing for them, you know. Actually, I kind of do, now that I think about it. It's like, it would have been great to see, like, Michael Keaton play Batman. I would have loved to seen that. Maybe not Batman, but an older Bruce Wayne. Well, we got Kevin Conroy playing Bruce. Although that didn't really go the way I thought it was going to go. I thought he was going to be a hero. But no, that version, you know, that version of Bruce Wayne was kind of a dick.
Spoiler alert!
I should have said that first before I started talking about it. But at this point, if you haven't seen the crossover, then that's on you. They're gonna replay it, so you'll be able to see it if you haven't already. I mean, chances are, if you haven't seen the crossover, you didn't really watch any of the Arrowverse shows. You know, the CW DC universe, as I like to call it. I think that it would have been great to see a lot more cameos, but we got a lot of cameos in there. The one cameo I was really looking forward to was the original Wonder Woman. Of course, my brain is... I can see her face. Linda Carter, thank you. All right, Linda Carter, I would have liked to... At the very least, would have liked to see her play Diana Prince. You know? She had been on Supergirl. But that, I think that was... I think that was in the first couple seasons. And that was before they moved to Vancouver. I don't know, and it would have been cool to have more of Krypton in the crossover. And now, actually, to be honest, I think the crossover I would have really liked to have seen was I would have liked to have seen people from Titans make a more substantial appearance in the crossover. I would have liked to have seen Nightwing or Robin at that point be like fighting next to like Batwoman and the rest of the Arrowverse people. It would have been really cool to see Beast Boy and Connor like fighting alongside like Green Arrow and both Superman. That would have been really cool, you know. But, you know, people were busy and or didn't want to do it. So, let's see here. I think that's it for that story. Is there anything else I can talk about here? Oh, yes, there is one more story. And it is from Heroic Hollywood. Close that. All right. Says Dwayne Johnson confirms Hobbs and Shaw sequel in development. So that's cool. Says last year the Fast and the Furious franchise expanded with a spin-off centered around Dwayne Johnson's Luke Hobbs and Jason Statham's Deckard Shaw. Though the film received some criticism, it was generally well-received and earned an impressive $760.4 million worldwide. That's pretty impressive. And I did end up seeing that movie, and it was actually really good. I liked it. But yeah, I'm not surprised at this criticism because, you know, the internet's full of angry nerds who are pissed off about something. You know, they get butthurt easily over their favorite things on the internet, TV shows and movies. All right. It says here. Then it says, here it is. I had to scroll past advertisements and videos about other things to get back to the story. Since the success of Hobbs and Shaw led many to assume a sequel would be developed to explore the stories set up at the end of the spinoff. Though nothing concrete has been announced since the film debuted. Excuse me. Oh, my God. I apologize. I'm going to have to cut that out. I completely lost where I was reading because I had to sneeze. Maybe I'll keep it in there. All right. Okay, so though nothing concrete has been announced since the film debuted, however, Dwayne Johnson confirmed in an Instagram Q&A session that a sequel is being actively developed and the creative team behind the first film are trying to figure out what direction the story can take. That's cool. I may have to rewatch that movie. I'm going to have to find it on Amazon or something and watch it again. Because actually, I did enjoy the movie. It was, at the time, I didn't know that there was another Fast and the Furious coming out. So I was like, well, maybe I should check it out, see where things are going with the, you know, if this is going to be where they're going to take the, Fast and the Furious movies is going forward, are they going to focus on these guys, which is fine. All right, see what else. All right, come on. Computer's moving slow again. It's either it's moving slow or the internet's being stupid. Which is entirely possible. And what I mean by being stupid, it means it's being really, really, really slow. All right. Bobby Frick, all right. This actually was posted yesterday to Bob Saget's Instagram. I want to play this. I thought it was funny. Get this to load up.
Thank you to Chris Franklin for these lyrics. The world has caught a virus, so I've written you a poem. We need your help to cure it, so stay the fuck at home. And if you have got 12 kids or you're living on your own, lock it down and isolate and stay the fuck at home. If you think you're not at risk here, you're living in a dome. It spreads faster than a hooker's leg, so stay the fuck at home. I need the gym, I need the beach, I hear you bitch and moan. You need to grow a brain cell and stay the fuck at home. But I feel fine, I don't feel sick. I'll go out on my own. How thick are you, you selfish prick? Please just stay the fuck at home. From L.A. through to Berlin, from Wuhan through to Rome, there's people dying every day, so stay the fuck at home. If you need to contact family, use Facebook, Skype, or phone. We've got the fucking internet, so stay the fuck at home. The only way to slow it down is isolate, not roam. Please help the world get back on track and stay the fuck at home. Stay the fuck at home. Stay the fuck at home. Don't you be a fucking dick. Please stay the fuck at home. Stay the fuck at home. Thank you to Chris Franklin for these lyrics.
That's brilliant. And it starts over. I saw a little bit of it when I first shared this video. I didn't actually listen to the whole song until just now. That's great. Oh my gosh. Stay the fuck at home. Yes. I fucking love that. Oh my goodness. See here, what else we got we can talk about? Oh, looks like Netflix is making a live-action Dragon's Lair movie. If you are old enough to remember, like myself, there was this really cool video game in the arcades back in the day called Dragon's Lair. And it was basically a video game that looked, I mean, it looked better than any other video game out there. Because most video games were 8-bit at that point. This movie, this game basically looked like a cartoon. It was an animated movie in video game form. And it was the hardest game I've ever played in my life. I don't think I got beyond like the first scene in the game. And I think I've known maybe one person to go beyond that. This is what it says. This was posted on Kotaku, and it says Netflix is planning to create a live action movie based on the 80s arcade game Dragon's Lair, and Ryan Reynolds is set to produce and star in the film. Oh, that is cool. Ryan Reynolds being a part of it, I think will get a lot of people to show up. I've already seen people complaining about this being made. I was like, don't do it. I was like, no, come on. As far as I know, they haven't done any other games like this. I don't think there was even any sequels to the game. I think the game was re-released on PlayStation 3. Maybe it was Xbox 360. But it was never like they never made a new version of the game. It was re-released as a console game, I think, at one point. But beyond that, I don't think they ever did any more with it. And it's one of those games that people like had bragging rights about how far they got into, because the game was exceedingly hard to play. Think of the hardest game you've ever played, and if you've never played this one, then you realize the game that you think is the hardest you've ever played is easy in comparison to this game. It's that hard. It says here. When it was first released back in the 1980s, Dragon's Lair was one of the best-looking games ever made. Thanks to the amazing animation, colorful art, and Laserdisc technology, the game looked unlike any other game found in arcades during that time. That's what I just said. It would spawn a few sequels and ports to various consoles. It recently appeared in an episode of the Netflix hit show Stranger Things. See, now, I didn't know that they had spin-off games, sequels. I did know about the consoles, though, which I already mentioned all that. So, as reported by the Hollywood Reporter, Netflix has been working on getting the rights to Dragon's Lair for over a year. The Hollywood Reporter also reports that Ryan Reynolds is set to star in the film adaptation, and produce too. Original Dragon's Lair creator and famed animator Don Bluth will also be a producer on the film. That's good to know. If nothing else, that should bring all the original fans to watch this, knowing that it's not going to be completely destroyed by Hollywood. The script is being written by Dan and Kevin Hagman. Hagman? I'm sorry, Hagman. H-A-G-E-M-A-N. Who were both behind the screenplay of last year's Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. In the original game, players help control the knight Dirk the Daring as he tries to save the princess from an evil dragon and wizard. While avoiding traps and other obstacles, the gameplay in the original Dragon's Lair was limited to hitting buttons when prompts appeared, essentially making the game a giant collection of quick time events. If played correctly, with no mistakes, the entire game is only about 12 minutes. Oh, wow. I easily spent more time than that trying to get past that first scene. It says here, no details on when to expect this film, but if you want to see Ryan Reynolds in a different video game movie, he's starring in an upcoming Free Guy. Okay. See here. A lot of the things I've been posting lately have, like I said, been memes and cute videos. Here's something that I should probably go ahead and mention. And I think it's pronounced chloroquine, but I'm not entirely sure about this. Let's see here what this says. Apparently, as I said earlier in the podcast, things were said, and people took that as the way to prevent from getting corona, and it turns out that information was incorrect. And this was posted on lifehacker.com. Chloroquine is not a ready-to-go wonder drug for COVID-19. It's not. Don't take it. And I'm probably saying it wrong, but I'm going to continue reading it like this. Chloroquine is a drug used to treat malaria and other conditions. And the president tweeted recently that it should be put in use immediately to treat COVID-19. Unfortunately, that is not how experts feel about it. So please, for the love of God, do not ask your doctor friend to sneak you prescription. Just don't do it. Chloroquine is and the related drug hydroxychloroquine are best known as an anti-malarial medications. Malaria is caused by a microscopic parasite that hitches a ride on mosquitoes, and chloroquine can kill the parasite once it's in your body. It can kill some other parasites too, in humans and other animals. Chloroquine phosphate is commonly used in agriculture to treat parasites in fish. Hydroxychloroquine is also used to treat autoimmune diseases, including lupus. Both medications can be toxic and cause eye and vision problems. So, with any treatment, it's important to balance the risks of side effects with the benefits of the drug of your condition for your condition. These are prescription drugs, so you'd talk this over with your doctor if you have a condition that chloroquine can treat. And then it says here, can chloroquine treat COVID-19? Maybe. We don't know yet. There are a lot of research papers these days in which doctors are reporting initial findings about COVID-19. But in a more usual scenario, those findings would have had more time to be reviewed, tested, and discussed among scientists before anybody makes any recommendations about what is worthwhile to use. Unfortunately, these days seems anyone who hears about a PERPENT study considers themselves an expert. It's sad that we have to say don't do this. It is not a cure-all. It really is sad that we have to say that. I know people are freaking out about this, and that people are dying, and people are getting sick, and people are worried that they're going to get sick. This is why you don't take medical advice from someone who's not a doctor, period. And if you are a medical doctor and you are giving your friend these drugs, shame on you. Someone should report you and have your license removed. There's no reason for this. There's a lot more to this story. I'm not going to read it all because at this point I'm talking about this is causing me some anxiety, and it's causing me to kind of like, I don't know. I just don't do it, man. Just follow what doctors suggest. Follow what the CDC says. Don't do what someone who's not a medical professional tells you. Just don't. listen to medical professionals, people who know what they're doing, people who've been trained for this. Listen to those people. Don't listen to other people who think they know better because they have some sort of leadership role someplace. Just don't. Anyways, I've been babbling for a while today. Thanks for listening to the podcast. If you could do me a solid, if you've listened this far into the podcast, do me a solid and go to my.bio/206geek and give the podcast a rating and a review. It helps. The more people that do the ratings and reviews, the more people will see the podcast, the more people will listen to the podcast. And thank you guys for listening. And I have been noticing that we have significantly more people listening in France. So, bonjour. I apologize if I don't pronounce it properly. But thank you for listening. Hopefully you're getting entertainment out of this. And those of you who are elsewhere, thank you for listening to the podcast. Thank you for tuning in and listening to me babble for an hour, sometimes longer. And and if you really want to support the podcast, especially now that people aren't able to go outside and stuff, you can go to support.206geek.com and you can support that way as well. Talk to you guys later. Stay safe. Stay indoors. Stay the fuck at home. Bye. Hey, you want to help support the podcast? Of course you do. And the easiest way to do that, there's a couple different ways actually. One way is you can go to the website, 206geek.com, and click the Rate Us Now button. And then it will give you several choices as to places to where you can rate and review the podcast. One of them, which is Apple Podcast. The other one is Podchaser.com. And I believe the third one, if you're on a PC, will show up as Stitcher. Now, if you are on an Apple device or on a PC, that has iTunes, do all three. Give me a rating and a review. The more people that do this, the more people that will be able to see my podcast, and the more the podcast will grow. So if you have to, and I've heard other people say this on their podcast, if you're like visiting friends and family, hey, can I see your phone for a second? And then like subscribe them to my podcast. I don't know, I think that's actually kind of funny. Subscribe your friends to my podcast, especially if you think they'll find it amusing and or entertaining. That would be great. Plus, doing the rating and reviewing helps too. So please, go to teosisgeek.com, click the Rate Us Now button, and then select one of the places where you can rate and review, and do that, please. It doesn't take much time. Thank you. That's all I can say about that. The other way you can help support the podcast is the host I use, Anchor.fm. It has a functionality where people can click the support button on the podcast, and it gives them three choices for supporting the podcast. 99 cents a month, $4.99 a month, and $9.99 a month. And for every person who subscribes to that, we'll get a shout out from me on the podcast. And if you are one of the people that does the $9.99 a month, I'll also give you an option to be a guest on the podcast. We'll just hang out and chat about whatever in the geek world, or actually whatever you want to talk about, really. I can talk about just about anything. So just to recap, there's a couple of different ways we can support the podcast. One is doing the Rate Us Now on the website, 206geek.com, and then the other way is to go to support.206geek.com. Once you go to that, click the support link and then follow the choices there. That's great. That's all you need to do to support the podcast.